On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the world celebrated. You may ask why they celebrated. Because the World War I was over. The war to end all wars, they thought at that time. President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation to celebrate Armistice Day on November the 11th. And in 1938, the day was declared a national holiday. And in 1954, the name was changed to Veterans Day in honor of all U.S. soldiers of any war. You know, Webster's Dictionary says that a veteran is a person who has had a long service or experience in an occupation, an office, or alike. It also says that a person who has served in a military force, especially during a war, is considered a veteran. You know, we think of war as a world conflict with many other countries. And, you know, today I want us to think about our understanding of the word veteran and what it means in kind of a different direction. And I want you to think of yourselves as being veterans. That's if you know Jesus. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to think of yourself as a veteran. You know that we're all soldiers. And without a shadow of a doubt, in the largest army in the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
A soldier of the army of the Lord. And one of the greatest soldiers ever in the Lord's army was King David, I believe. You know, long before he ever thought about being a hero, on that day that he slew Goliath, against enormous odds, where with just one little stone and a leather sling, God had looked ahead and saw David's future and saw that it was going to be good, and not only good, but great. God had chosen him to be a soldier in his army long before he was ever summoned for his assignment. In Psalms 91:111, it says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thee dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all the ways." When we put out faith and trust in the Lord, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, we can expect to have God to take care of us. Amen? We can expect Him and His maximum protection. You know, we think of that in a physical sense, but God says He will protect you in a spiritual way. You know, we always think of the physical, but we're talking about spiritual. We can expect His protection. No evil can befall, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Will there be times that our courage is tested? Absolutely. Will there be times David's courage was tested? Absolutely. There are many times, probably more times than recorded in Scripture, that David's courage was tested. We all know our faith and courage is tested. Mine is every day. Even sometimes, I say that on a daily basis, David's faith and courage was no different. It's in those times that faith is stretched and has a chance to grow and develop and become stronger than ever every day. It's the same with us, and as with any veteran. You know, this definition that a person who has served in a military force during a war, you see, I believe a veteran is anyone who has served in a battle or a war with a designated foe and lived to fight another day. Amen? Amen. Only our war is a little bit different. A war, yeah, a spiritual war that we fight with a real and present adversary, an enemy, the accuser, the devil, the one and the same. And the Lord tells us this is a serious conflict that we're fighting, a struggle that we're up against on a daily basis, and sometimes even moment by moment at times in our life. And if we're ever going to be successful, we're going to have to enlist His help and put on the whole armor of God He has supplied for us. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 6:10-20 talks about this. It says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We listen to these words, and you know, after we read this scripture and we have put on the whole armor of God, we should be able to and should want to put our name right there in this scripture, where it says there in verse 19, "And for me, Randy Wright, that utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel." I may be able to speak it to whoever I meet boldly, no matter what. Because when you are willing to insert your name, you are willing to lay it on the line, to take this battle to your neighborhood, to your place where you live. We're going to need it. We got to have the armor of God if we're going to fight this battle. We can't do it alone. We can't do it on our own. We have to have God at our side. And we have to have all that He provides for us that goes with that. You know, this, the accuser, he will put everything he's got into defeating you. And he threatens us all the time. But let me tell you, if you're not threatened by Satan, then you're not a threat to Satan. You think about that. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, let me tell you what, the accuser will come. And he will throw his fiery darts at you. And he will fight you face to face. And without the armor of God, you won't defeat him. But with God, with this armor, with what God gives us, no matter what he conjures up, and believe me, we all know he can conjure up some stuff. You can't be defeated if you've got God on your side. God offers to us who believe and take him at his word. He offers this to us. In 1 John 4:6, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. Amen?
Amen.
He goes on to say, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Sometimes it seems as of late that those who are against us in the world are greater than those who are for us. It seems like we're losing that battle, don't it, at times? So much wrong in this world. So few are willing to take a stand on the side of what's right. Elijah experienced this same thing and the same feelings in his day. In 1 Kings 19:1-4, it says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Also, he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Bathsheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now. Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. You know, Elijah was a veteran. In the scripture we read that he was like the most decorated veteran ever at that time. He did some amazing things for the Lord. He prayed for rain for it not to rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed for the sacrifice that he'd made unto the Lord to be consumed by fire, and fire come down and consumed it. And with God's help, he performed 7 amazing miracles. And now he is fearful for his life. You think all the things that he had saw, all the things that he'd done, you wouldn't think he'd be afraid of anything. But you know, that's not much different from us. I see a lot of people who have lived a strong life in their faith and served the Lord well, but then there's times in their life where they're scared because of things happening. I think that's natural. It happens to all of us. I don't know, you could call that maybe battle fatigue. But he just needed recharged. He needed his batteries recharged, and sometimes we need that as well. Sometimes we just get burnt out, don't we? We get tired of things going on all the time and getting punched, and sometimes we think we just get kicked all the time, and even when we're down, we're still getting kicked. I remember when I was riding horses I rode in the rodeo for a couple years. Some of you know that. I used to ride bulls. No, I didn't say I was smart at that time, you know. And so I can remember so many times, you know, I wasn't good at it either. You know, I didn't win a bunch of money or get the big trophies that everybody else did. You know, but I kept doing it and kept doing it. But I just kept, every time I'd get thrown off, I'd just, okay, let's do it again. And I don't know if they call that smart or just didn't, I wasn't going to give up. Yeah. And after 6 busted ribs and a broken sternum and several broken fingers and all kinds of other things broken, I finally said, you know what? I'm not good at this. I need to stop and do something else. My point is I know what it means to get beat up. And I really know you get discouraged, but there was times where it was really cool. I mean, I remember riding this bull named Elvis. I mean, you know, Elvis had some moves now. And everybody was like, you know, this bull is tough. You know, I could hear all this stuff. Man, nobody, you know, he is just, hardly anybody rides this bull, you know. Elvis got beat that day. But then the next time I rode Elvis, he hurt me pretty bad. He showed me back. That's not even in my message. But my point is we all get beat up at times. We all get knocked down. We all get put on the ground. And it's our choice of whether we want to just lay there and say, woe is me, God, why'd you do this? A lot of times we do it like I did. That was my own dumb fault for doing those things. But see, in our spiritual battle, sometimes we face this adversary that's always wanting to knock us off, knock us down, and put us in the dirt, stomp on us. I mean, they want to gore us. They want to do whatever. He wants to defeat you in any way that he can. And we have to just keep getting up, and we just have to keep going on, because that's what the battle is all for. And I could tell story after story that we've, you know, about veterans, about the, you know, battles that were fought, that people, if they would have gave up, I mean, the odds were always against them, but they just kept fighting. They kept fighting. They didn't give up hope. They just kept fighting. And in the end, they come out winners because they didn't give up. You know, an angel, God sent an angel to Elijah, and he told him to eat, give him strength, and then he ministered to him. This angel kept coming back to him a second time, and he told him, arise and eat, because the journey is great for you. In verse 8, he said, so he rose and he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of the food that God provided for 40 days and 40 nights. Amazing, isn't it? One word from God, the strength that gives, can take you from where you are to where you need to be. Amen. When we get beat up, it just takes one word from God. The favor in it, in that word, can take you so much farther than where you can get on your own. We need God. Amen. There's a super abundance of power. I mean, God has got more than we can contain. He just says, hey, it's here. Many scriptures, all throughout the scripture, says it's here. If you abide in me, guess what? I'll abide in you. Amen. Isn't that awesome to think? He goes on there in verse 9 of that same chapter, and he says, and there went into a cave and spent the night in the place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am alone and left, and they seek to take my life. You know, he was reminding God that he had been faithful. He had been a faithful veteran, and yet he felt like he was the only one left and outnumbered. And sometimes I think we all feel that same way, especially with what's going on in the world today. We think that other things, I mean, what else could this world throw at us, it seems like? I mean, it's throwing everything at us. Our morality, or the lack of it here in America today. Our religious freedoms are being limited more and more. Our God-given rights, the countless millions of people that shed their blood for us to have these freedoms that we have, I feel like we're being trampled on today. In verse 11, Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And in that still small voice, that's where the Lord spoke. You see, everyone's waiting, it seems like, for something big to happen. For something, for the fire to fall upon all the churches and for all the Christians that are in America and worldwide to just all of a sudden come out and just start, you know, doing things right and making everything right. That's what we want, right? We pray for that. Amen. We pray for a revival to happen. But that's not the way the plan goes, is it? One single large event like that's not going to happen. It's still up to us, the veterans, to all who profess to be Christians. The boots are on the ground to carry out His marching orders. In Matthew 28:18, which I read last week, and it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth, and go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. My point is God could do something like that. God could just, boom, in a blink of an eye, He could just cause a revival to pour out all over the nation that would change everything. He could do that. I believe that. But He left us here to do a job until He comes again. You see, nothing has changed since Jesus went to be with the Father. And at times, though, some of us have forgotten our marching orders and the ranks have thinned, so it seems, because of it. It's like I talked about last week, how our churches are in decline in America. But I feel this morning that God would like us, or would like to remind us, so like He did Elijah, you're not alone. He said there in verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. You see, that's something that I guess the media doesn't want us to hear or want us to know. The times are changing. That's what they want to say, that everything, our beliefs are changing, the principles that we believe that this country was founded on are outdated and need to be altered. We need to follow political correctness. We need to, this political correctness is never going to bring peace, is it? The only thing that's going to bring peace is Jesus Christ in someone's life. And it's the only thing that will bring peace to this world. And it's the point. It's to the point now. I'm just so disheartened by what I see going on. You know, because I love the place where I was born. Amen. I love to be able to come here on a Sunday morning and worship with my church family, and not have to worry about being put in prison or because of that. I love to be able to choose that I want to drive a Ford versus a Chevy. I can get no amens out of that. I mean, come on. Huh? Not on that one? I knew that was coming. My point is we have choices. We have freedoms in this country where we can choose to go to Kroger, go to Walmart, or go wherever we want to go, or be who we want to be. If I want to be a doctor, Lord forbid, I have the opportunity to do so. somebody didn't choose it for me other than God. If I want to do that, if I want to go buy that Ford truck down there that I like so much, then I can do that if I've got the money and work for it, right? Right now, I mean, they're pretty expensive. I tell you, we're not the only ones left, is what I'm trying to say here this morning. We're not the only ones left, and we need to stand up and be heard. I'd like to tell you that there's millions of people all over the world still praising Jesus' name. There's people in countries where it's illegal to say the name of Jesus or to be a Christian, and they're still preaching Jesus. But yet our churches are declining. And what I'm saying, the freedoms that we have are being taken away from us, but yet it's time for us to stop being silent. Just like in the Word says that there were 7,000 silent saints, the same could be said today. We can be silent no more. And all of us here today, we're all veterans in God's army. And no matter what our age is or what our rank is or what our position is, we're followers of Jesus Christ and we're in His army. We need to stand up and be counted as soldiers ready and willing and able to do what is required of us. And I praise Him for that today. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen, are you? I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed to pray with somebody in Walmart or Kroger. Amen. Are you?
Amen. No, you're not.
I'm not ashamed of my church. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe we can be silent no more. There have been far too many of us who have been MIA. Missing in action. Or should I say, AWOL even. Absent without official leave. We need to report for duty. We need to be on active duty. Amen?
Amen.
It's so easy to stand idly by. And we get busy in this world, and I know. Sometimes we get so busy, we say somebody else will do that. Pastor will take care of that. But guess what? Pastor does all he can do. Jesus doesn't just need the pastor. He needs everyone. He needs all. We think it is easy to stand by and think that someone else will tell the world about Jesus, or someone else will invite people to church, or someone else will tell them where to find hope, or someone else will tell them where to find healing and strength when everything else is failing around them. Or someone else, you know, I think about this. Someone told me about Jesus. Someone told you about Jesus. So now it's our turn to tell somebody else about Jesus. So they can tell somebody else about Jesus, and they can tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen? Come on. Jesus spoke these words of wisdom in Luke chapter 10. He said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart. And that you love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that the message? Jesus said that this was the greatest of all commandments. He knew that when we follow this one, all the others would be followed as well. You know, thing I want to hear the most is for the words from Jesus' mouth, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Amen? Amen? Well done, good and faithful servant. God needs you to fight the battles and never give up. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you for your blessings and your mercy and your grace and all those things, Lord, the hope that you give us. Lord, let us just continue to fight. Lord, let us continue to fight and win souls for you. Let us stand strong for what is right. Lord, let us be good soldiers for you. I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.